For too long, I've wandered. For too long, I've roamed. I've looked for fulfillment but found no home. My heart, my soul grieving. I've struggled with believing, buying into all of this deceiving. And the lies keep pouring in. They told me I'd be okay. If I made enough money at the end of the day, if I got that promotion, if I got that new car, if I got that house with that dog in the yard, I'd be fine. But they lied, 'cause somewhere inside, I'm empty. I need more than what I have, and I'm not even looking for material things. I've had enough of that. I need something deeper, something realer, something that's more than what I'm feeling, 'cause right now, I'm lost, honestly. I mean, I've heard that Jesus died for me, but what does that even mean? Doesn't everybody die? What makes this man so special? What makes him what I need? What makes his blood more powerful when he bleeds? I want to know. I want to understand. So I'm here on this day to find out. I mean, is it true? Did he really raise from the grave? Did he really heal the blind and the lame? Did he really make the world? Did he really calm the seas? If this is true, then he is what I need. So on this day, I choose to believe, not in a fairy tale, not in a lie, but in hope that he really did rise, in faith that he is who he says he is, in faith that he rose, in faith he ascended and is preparing us a home. If all this is true, then I want to know him.
This bulletin, "He's Alive," reminded me of something that happened to me. Well, actually, it happened to me 50 years ago. Some of you weren't around then, but I was a teenager. It was Easter Sunday morning. We had about 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground. And before we went to church, my dad said, "Hey, you better ride out and check that herd of cows down there." So I rode out, and I saw this cow. She's obviously had a calf. She was bagged up. She was dragging some afterbirth. There's got to be a calf around here someplace. And she was standing there looking down, and I saw a little hump in the snow. And I dug in the snow, and here was a baby calf. And I just was so thrilled that it was alive. I ran home and told my mom. I said, "That so-and-so cow, she's had a calf, and he's alive." My mom said, "That's exciting, but the real exciting thing is that Jesus is alive. So, son, make sure you keep things in perspective." So I think sometimes we look, we think about Easter and we sing these songs, and we're just amazed that Jesus died, he rose from the dead, and we just wonder, how does it affect me? Does it make a difference in my life? When we read the Easter story, I think it's in all four of the Gospels. Notice it's Christmas is only two Gospels. Easter is in all four, so it's twice as important as Christmas. But you notice the women that went to the tomb, they were expectant. The men didn't go. Here's a joke. Women are expectant. Men aren't, I guess. The men, what were they? Where were the disciples? They were mourning. They were in trouble. Expectation is a big deal when it comes to Easter, I think. You know, how's God going to affect, what's he going to do in my life? Something that's good. Here's a definition of expectation. Eager anticipation of something good happening. I think expectation is really important. We expect God to answer our prayers. Wow, Chrissy getting that answer to prayer after 18 years. Faith has an expectancy about it. When you know God is real, you just expect him to answer our prayers, to work in our lives. And Jesus dying on the cross 2,000 years ago, that's kind of a past thing, But I think most of our expectation is towards right now, and it's towards the future. I heard about it. A study was done recently. Some Dutch scientists, they studied 1,000 people. And they found that 95% of those people consistently are happier on Friday night than on Sunday night. We all know why, don't we? Because they were expecting a lot of fun for the weekend, a lot of happy stuff to do. And Sunday night, I got to go to work tomorrow. They weren't expectant. So I call this amazing expectation in the life can be yours because of what Jesus did. Again, about expectation, a behavioral scientist at Cornell, he said, when you're anticipating a vacation, whether it's a long or a short one, you're going to be much happier and lighthearted before the vacation than when you get back. Why is that? You think when you get back from a vacation, you know, you're rested up, you're happy, everything's good. No, no. He recommended shorter vacations because you're just wasting money after so long gone. The expectation of going on vacation, that's the fun thing. Expectation, eager anticipation of something good. Let's look at a scripture from John 11:25. Here's what Jesus said about himself. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's an anticipation. Death is not going to be the end of it. Death isn't going to end everything. Even though he die, yet shall he live. How about this verse from 1 Peter 1:3 about expectation? 1 Peter 1:3. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Expectation, eager anticipation of something good. Now we can live with it. If Christ is in our lives, we can live with that expectation. The note on your outline there says we can live in amazing expectation because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It can be like Friday night for every day. I'm just looking forward to tomorrow because God's doing things in my life. If you ever feel like a loser, or if you ever feel that life just dealt you a bad hand, if you feel messed up, when you know Jesus, it changes everything. Expectation is about the future. After the crucifixion, the disciples were really down. They probably felt like they just, you know, life had ended for them. They felt like they wasted 3 years. And now Jesus is dead. He's gone. What's gonna happen next? Whereas the women, they had some expectation that something was happening at the tomb, and so they went there. What's the difference? When you realize, you know, God's at work and he's changing things in my life, you can have expectation of the future because of the resurrection. Well, let's go through our outline. I'm just going to look at three different things that can change because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, you can, number one, expect great purpose in your life. You can expect great purpose in your life. If you didn't have it before, you can have it now. Great purpose. Psychologist William Moulton Hurston, he asked 3,000 people, what purpose do you have in your life? And 94% of them didn't have anything to say about today. It was all about, if only this would happen in my life. If only I get a better job. If only I had a better wife or husband. Well, you could say, well, that's expectation. Well, it's not the expectation that things will get better. They were hoping that maybe things would change. And Jesus is here to change us. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Jesus included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. You can have purpose in your life. Sigmund Freud, he said, although I don't agree with it, he said, only some kind of belief in God can give you purpose in your life. Isn't that amazing? That guy was an atheist, but he said, although I don't agree with it, only some kind of belief in God can answer the question of purpose in your life. Colossians 1:16, everything, absolutely everything, all that is seen and all that is unseen was started in Christ and finds its purpose in him. That's a pretty dogmatic statement. Someone said, the greatest possible impact an unbeliever's life can have is like a ship passing through the ocean. There's a small wake behind it, but before long, even the wake is gone. That's a purposeless life. But yet when we're in Christ, we have an impact on people around us. Like Chrissy's saying, we can tell others that Jesus is alive. Ephesians 1, 11 through 12. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose, he is working in everything and everyone. If you're without Christ in your life, you're probably in some kind of a struggle, trying to find some kind of a purpose. That's where I think depression sometimes comes in, as we just realize, what is this all about? This struggle, where is this going to end? Is it going to get better or not? I don't know if it will. The opposite of expectation is despair. It's Christ and his power, the resurrection power, that gives purpose to life. So number one, expect great purpose for your life. And number two, because of the resurrection, we can expect great power in our lives. Expect great power to live our lives. Let's talk a little bit about power. I think one of the greatest examples of power that has happened in some of our lifetimes was in 1982, no, excuse me, May 18, 1980, when Mount St. Helens was a volcano exploded with the most visible indication of power in our lifetime in this part of the world. At 8:02 a.m., an explosion ripped 1,300 feet off the top of that mountain. 10 meters. They say that the power was equal to 10 million tons of TNT, or 500 Hiroshima bombs. 60 people that were killed. 300 degree heat traveling 200 miles an hour. People were killed as far as 16 miles away. The blast leveled 150-foot Douglas fir trees 17 miles away. They say 3.2 billion board feet of lumber were destroyed, enough to build 200,000 three-bedroom homes. It was all lost. That's a demonstration of power. But what we're talking about is the power to change you and me. The power to change our lives. Ephesians 1, 19 through 20. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great God's power really is to help those who believe him. It is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. What a promise. Incredibly great power to help us to believe in him and to follow him. This is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to ask for this power. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead shall also give life to you in your mortal bodies. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the Holy Spirit in us. The great power, expect power to change your life, to change things that you can't do anything about. Here's a power that I need in Isaiah 40:29. God gives power to those who are tired and worn out, and he offers strength to the weak because of the resurrection. He gives us power to live a life that's pleasing to him. Power to say no to temptations. Power to say yes when God asks us to do something. 2 Peter 2:3. Here's a promise. As you get to know Jesus better, he will give you, through his great power, everything you need for living a truly good life. What a promise. But notice it's a process. He says, he'll give you, through his great power, everything you need. As you get to know him, the more we know Christ, the more we experience his power to live for him. So number one, we can expect purpose in our lives. Number two, we can expect great power to live for Jesus. And then number three, because of the resurrection, we can expect great provision now and into eternity. John 21, verse 6 is a story about where Jesus, after the resurrection, the disciples, they were fishing. And Jesus said, you know, put your net down on the other side. He explained, do it a little bit differently. And they hauled in a huge haul of fish so that the boats were almost sinking. Why did Jesus do that? Because he said, you know, I'm involved in your lives. I'm going to help you with whatever you're doing. I'll help you be successful. I'll provide for you. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus is here to give you abundant life and everything that you need. So much of for those of us who, you know, before Jesus, we just live for ourselves. So much money was stolen from us. So much relationships were broken up. Huge blocks of time have been wasted. But now Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you abundant life. I'm going to fill your life with more than you can imagine. Here's a promise in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Maybe not always our wants, but he's going to supply our needs as we pray. He wants to, we can expect that he's going to provide for what we need. I love the story that Laura Cooper from Englewood, Colorado tells about when she was in preschool, just a little girl. They had a food festival at school, and the teacher said, we want you to bring some food. And so she assigned the different kids to bring things, and she assigned her to bring cookies. And she was all excited about it. We're going to bake some cookies, and I'm going to bring cookies. When she got home, her mother said, I'm sorry, but you're not going to make cookies because we don't have the money to buy the ingredients. Well, she said, can't we just borrow them or do something? Nope, I'm sorry. It costs money to buy ingredients to make cookies. And all of a sudden, the mom said, you know what? We love the Lord. Why don't we pray about this? And so the little girl and her mother prayed for cookie dough. That's pretty small, isn't it? She said, I forgot all about it, even though I was supposed to bring cookies in 5 days. But all of a sudden, 2 days later, there was a knock on the door. It was a lady from across the street. She said, she never comes over. But she knocked on the door, and she said, I was cleaning out my freezer, and I got these two Tupperwares full of chocolate chip cookie dough, and I don't know what to do with them. And her mother said, we'll take them, we'll take them. And so they baked cookies. She said, I realized then that there's no need too small to bring before God, because he's going to help us. Great provision, now and into eternity. John 11:15-16. Jesus said, I am the one who raises the dead and gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me, even though he dies, shall live again. He is given eternal life for believing in me and shall never perish. What a promise. I think deep down inside every person, there's a longing that someday when we die, there's going to be a heaven that we'll go to. Even though atheists many times will say, nope, there's nothing after death. There's nothing. But if you ask them enough questions, and I've had this experience, they'll say, well, yeah, if it was real, it'd be too good to be true. That's the way Jesus is with us. It's too good to be true. He's promising us eternal life. But if you question how that's going to happen, well, if Jesus rose from the dead, as Scripture says, then there's going to be life eternal for us. A place where there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no debt, there's no problems. Yeah, that sounds a little too good to be true. But it's a promise that we see over and over in God's word. Just a simple verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's over and over in the scripture. Promise of eternal life. So as we look to Jesus, we can expect a great purpose in our lives. We can expect great power to live for him. And thirdly, we can expect his provision for eternity. Once again, Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring life to our mortal bodies. And so as we invite Christ into our lives, his Holy Spirit comes into us and he fills us. And it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can help us live the life that God wants us to live. think some of us, there might be someone here, you're really feeling weak. You don't feel purpose in your life. Maybe you've even considered suicide. You've been depressed. God wants to change that. Maybe you're here and you've said, I don't have enough power to live a godly life. I mean, I'm addicted. I'm sunk. My habits will take advantage of me. There's power to change that through the resurrected Jesus. Maybe you're fearful about God's provision in your lives. God wants to provide for you, and he wants to take that fear away. Let's bow our heads together, shall we? Lord, I just want to thank you for the power of the resurrection. I thank you for the truth that Jesus rose from the dead, and it affects us. It can affect us right now, so we can have hope for the future. We can expect that you're gonna give us a purpose to live for you. You're gonna pull us out of some depression and some maybe even thoughts of suicide, because you're gonna show us that there's a way to live for you. Lord, if there's someone here, they're caught in an addiction. They can't seem to be free. I just thank you for the power that is in Jesus. And when we invite you into our lives, that power comes into us to be free, as we sing about, be free. I just thank you, Lord, that you're here in this room and you're inviting us to come close to you, the resurrected Lord. We give you thanks right now.